Father, we want to thank you again for your tangible presence. Your tangible presence that you've honored us with in our service hitherto. We're grateful because we really know who you are. The world doesn't, but we do. The great and mighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, the God who is more than enough, the God who made all things for your pleasure. The only wise God, the only true God. We know who you are. We know just how we're learning more and more every day, just how great you are. How wonderful. The God of loving kindness, of righteousness and justice. Your character is sterling. Your power is infinite. Your wisdom is unfathomable. Yet you are humble. And you have chosen to honor our gathering with your tangible presence. Thank you. We enter your word and we ask that our presence go with us. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak, my Father, as I should, as an oracle of God. Then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically and those who are hearing me and will hear me remotely, electronically. Let that this your word flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and then eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth, and whenever they are released in all the earth, to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy, Lord, to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed with me and said, I have a very important present truth prophetic message. It is prophetic in the sense that some of it is already happening and more of it is going to happen in the immediate future. I'm reminded of something Kenneth Hagin taught us many years ago, and he said this. He said that in the Old Testament, a lot of the prophetic words and utterances were over centuries and millennia, so they were foretelling. He said, but the New Testament prophet, because we're in the end time, does what you call forthtelling, not foretelling. In other words, he's telling you what is already happening and will continue to evolve, that is, continue to grow and increase. So the Old Testament prophets gave us long-term prophecies, things in the far future. But the New Testament prophet gives you things in the immediate future. In other words, things that are happening now, be happening in 6 months, happening in a year, happening in 5 years, you know, not like it used in the Old Testament where it would take, you know, 100 years or 1,000 years before the prophecy came to pass. This message is one such forth-telling. Things that are already happening to a degree now and that are going to be happening in the immediate future. And I've entitled this particular message, Reigning Righteousness. Reigning like rain, when rain falls. Reigning, that is righteousness that is reigning. And it's already happening. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. This is a scripture that should be familiar to prophetic students. It may not be familiar to the average Christian, but it should be familiar to us in this house. And the prophet Hosea, he speaks prophetically. And of course, what he was saying was not to be fulfilled now, until now. This was even before Jesus was born. There's thousands and thousands. We're looking, you know, maybe 3,000-4,000 years. And this started to happen. It's been happening in the last 100 years. But it's picked up its intensity in these last few years, and even now as I speak, hence this message. I'll just preface this by saying something. One, the major aspect of the prophetic ministry is to let God's people know what God's purpose is, for the season in which they are living and the immediate seasons that are coming. God does his things in times and seasons. And so the children of Issachar are typified. They typify the prophetic. They had understanding of the times. In other words, they understood what God was doing in those in specific times and seasons. And then, more importantly, they knew what Israel ought to do. Now, the word ought is a corrective word. You know what it means? It means they're not doing it. Or you know, if I say you ought to be doing that, it means that at the moment you're not doing the right thing. And it's one of the reasons why they don't like prophets. Because true prophets are telling you what you ought to be doing, not what you are doing. In other words, many times what you're doing is either totally wrong or, as it is in many cases, incomplete. Hence, you need prophets who will give you what the Greek New Testament, and I learned this from E.W. Kenyon and Kenneth Hagin and Brother Copeland, you know, epignosis. Epignosis is precise, complete, exact knowledge. So that's what you ought to be doing. And it is only when the people of God begin to do what the prophets are preaching and teaching, and true developed prophets are prophetic teachers. The greatest example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus was called, in his ministry, he was called two main things. He had his all that prophetic titles like Son of David, you know, Son of God. But functionally, he was called two main things. He was called Rabbi and he was called Prophet. Rabbi is teacher and prophet is prophet. So he was a prophetic teacher. You find, if you look at Jesus, you hardly ever find him, In fact, you never find him saying, "Thus saith the Lord," like the Old Testament prophets. He will just say, "Oh, the kingdom of God is like unto 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish." What's he doing? He's teaching, but he's teaching prophetically. "Today and tomorrow I will cast out devils and do cures, but the third day I'll be perfected." What's he doing? He's teaching. And by the grace and the mercy of God, we are partakers of that same prophetic teaching anointing. And that's what I'm doing now by his grace and mercy. So, this is the word to us now, to our generation now. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It is time." Oh. You know, in Africa, everything we always end with "oh." Particularly Yoruba people. When we say "oh," it means emphasis. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and what? Reign. That's why I've titled this message, "Reigning Righteousness." Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, let me, this word I've just given you is symbolic. It contains hidden truths. So, what does that mean? Ordinarily, agriculturally speaking, to sow is to go to a piece of land, you know, and break it up and then put a seed inside. But he's not talking here about the physical land. He's talking about our hearts. We know that from the prophetic teaching of the Master. In Mark chapter, as recorded in Mark chapter 4, I think Luke chapter 8, and maybe some other places in the Gospels. And he said, "A sower went forth to sow. And some of the seed fell on stony ground, and some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Then some fell among thorns. And then some fell on good ground." I said, "And some brought forth fruit, some didn't." But I don't want to get distracted with that parable. I'm just bringing out the fact that he's talking here. He's talking spiritually. He's not talking physically. So, how do you sow to yourself in righteousness? How do you reap in mercy? How do you break up your fallow ground? Let's take that question a bit further. I'm not going to answer them immediately. I'm going to answer them later on before I close the message. But I just want to, you know, get your mind thinking in line with the Word of God. What is fallow ground? We say a ground is fallow. What does that mean? These are great spiritual truths that the church must come into an understanding of. Some of the modern translations, like the Amplified Bible and the New International Version, they say uncultivated ground. It's not been cultivated. It's not been tilled. Here, the Amplified Bible says uncultivated. The other one says unplowed. It is a sad commentary, true and tragic, which God wants to change. Hence this type of prophetic message, that many of the hearts of God's people are fallow ground. They are not cultivated. You know, Nigeria has a lot of land. Nigeria is one of the most blessed countries in the world. I don't know if you know that. We have virgin forests. In Europe and in America, they've used up a lot of their vegetation, you know, over the years. Ours is still virgin to a great degree. Our food is organic. You don't have to go to the lab to go and get it, you know. We're greatly blessed. And many times when you're traveling, you know, maybe you're traveling between Ibadan and Lagos, or you're traveling to Ife or wherever, you know, you look at the but it's uncultivated. It's not, we haven't taken advantage of it. So you find all kinds of things just growing in the wild. You know, you just find all kinds of, you know, trees and plants. They're not cultivated. But if you go to somewhere like IITA, Institute of International Institute for Tropical Agriculture, you will see cultivated. It's the same land, same Oyo State. You will see cultivated land. You will see rows of trees and plants that have been deliberately, and you see them in parallel straight lines. That's cultivated. Where you now maximize the yield that you get from the plants. It could be palm oil, it could be cassava, whatever. But it's not just growing in the wild like we see ordinarily. Many Christian hearts are like that. Things just grow. And it has weeds in it and all kinds of things because effort was not made to cultivate it. You have to cultivate land, it takes effort. Today, with technology, you know, and that's why, I don't know why this just come to my heart, but I'm going to say, I want to give counsel to our governments. I thank God for our governor here in Oyo State. He's doing a great job. And the One River, go to Israel. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. What God has done in Israel is nothing short of a miracle. In Israel, there's a book called Startup Nation, and there are many others, you know. I've been reading them, and I still read them, because they inspire me. And they tell me that if God did it for Israel, God would do it for Nigeria. Where they cultivate the land. And their own land is not even as good as our own. There is desert. Can you believe Israel plants tomatoes and all of that and exports it to people that have better land than them? Europe buy their flowers, they buy a lot of their tomatoes and everything, you know, they buy from Israel because they have learned the secret of cultivation. They have learned it, and then they have applied present day computer technology to it, drone technology. There is a type of irrigation that's called drip irrigation. They drop. Israel does not have too much water. They're not like us that we have the Oshun River, we have the Ogun River, we have, you know, the Atlantic Ocean here. But Nigeria is so blessed. The River Niger, River Benue, we don't know what to do with it. We're not taking advantage of it. Israel has, you know, very little water. So you know what? 70% of the water in Israel is recycled. So when you have your bath in Israel, you know, and the water goes to the drain and all of that, they don't allow it to go in the ground. They recycle it. Israel is an expert in removing salt from seawater. So they take water from the sea, then they remove the salt, and then they recycle it for use. And some of that water is now taken into what is called drip irrigation, because they don't have, most of their land is desert, you know, in the Negev. They now make sure that this particular plant needs so many milliliters of water every day. So they have a computer, a drone, that goes there and it drops it. Doop, doop, doop. So they maximize their yield. May God give us understanding. Now, you know what? All that is in the natural. God wants you to die with your heart. Your heart is all growing all kinds of things. You need to. Thank you, mommy. My only supporter. Praise the Lord. No, you are not behind her. All right, you would have clapped with her. Yeah. As the revelation was coming, it resonated in her, but it didn't resonate in you. All right, your clapping would have been as spontaneous as her own. So repent now. Cultivate your heart. I'm only joking. But seriously, we need to cultivate our hearts so our hearts will get maximum yield of fruit. God wants rows of trees and plants in your heart. This row, and they're in order. You go to ITA, you know what I'm talking about. When you see a proper plantation, you see, you know, and if you're going to Benin, there's a place there where they have a palm oil plantation. You will see, you will see the difference between it and the other parts, which is not cultivated. God wants one row, and all the fruit there is love. Then the next row, all the fruit there is joy. Then the next row, all the fruit there is peace. So when God comes down and he walks and comes to look in your garden, he's extremely pleased. Papa Rav preached to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 4 some years ago. He says, I have come into my garden to eat of my precious fruits because the heart is cultivated. I'm going to come back to that. How? We are now living in the time where we have to cultivate our hearts. Because God is reigning and will continue to reign in greater measure righteousness upon us. Now, what does that mean? Let me, by the help of the Holy Spirit, break it down for you. What is reigning righteousness? Let's just look at natural rain. Natural rain comes from the clouds, you know, and it comes down, you know, as water onto the ground so that the ground can bring forth fruit. What do we mean by reigning righteousness? It is when the life of God, and the life of God is actually called water spiritually, you know, it's called, you know, living water. So when you are reigning, when the life of God is falling down in great quantity and in great measure upon the human heart, the mind. When I talk about heart, I'm not just even talking about your spirit. Your spirit is actually the pump that is releasing the water that is going to water your mind, your will, your emotions, and your mind, will, emotions, and your body. When the life of God that is coming from heaven, but it's actually coming via your spirit because you're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We looked at this last time when I was talking about, understanding spiritual forces. We're physically on earth, but our spirits are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God in heaven. So when we begin to release life and we begin to pray in tongues and all of that, we're raining righteousness. We're raining the life of God upon the human heart, the mind, the will, and emotions, and its product is righteousness. In other words, right doing. That rain of the life of God, the water of the life of God upon the human heart, is to produce righteousness, right doing in the lives of the recipients, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is what enables you to do right doing anyway. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So, this is what reigning means. I'm going to come back to how to do it in a minute. But then I want to also motivate you. I want to paint a picture to you. We've looked at Hosea 10:12. Let's go and look at Hosea chapter 6. It's just 3 or 4 chapters behind. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3, and it's going to answer the question of it is time. After 2 days, I actually taught on this on Wednesday, I didn't plan to. It came out. I was given an example of how the Holy Spirit illuminates the scripture to us. And how I preached from this in the year 1999 and 2000. Anyway, say from about 1996, 1997. You know, I was looking at that scripture then in this light. That by the year 2000, a revival is going to come. And after the revival, we're going to be raptured and raised up to heaven. That was my understanding at the time. It was not wrong. It's still not wrong. But it was not complete. That's why we grow spiritually. And, you know, the path of the righteous shines more and more brighter and brighter under the perfect day. That interpretation is not wrong. It's just that it was very narrow and it was incomplete. After 2 days, I didn't hear you. Will he revive us? And in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. So I interpreted that to be the rapture. But it cannot be, because if you read the next verse, it says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. I mean, I'm not going to start knowing the Lord after the rapture. I have to know the Lord before. He is going forth, is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and the latter and former rain on the earth. He's not talking about the rapture. Now, the rapture will happen after all of these events. For those of you who may not have this clarity of understanding, I'll just give it to you brief. This is the timetable. The next thing now is the manifestation of the sons of God, where you're going to have a company of Christians that are going to grow into the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ and inherit this latter and former reign, the spirit without measure. They will do the same miracles Jesus did and greater on a consistent basis. With that power, they will be able to break into the nations that hitherto have been closed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then they will make disciples in all nations. It doesn't mean all nations will become Christians. Mm-mm. It means that in every ethnic group, there will be a company of disciples who will come under the covering of these people and grow like they have grown, you know, and get the borrowed anointing like Peter, James, and John and the 12 apostles, the 70, you know, and then take that anointing to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom to their own ethnic group. We're going to do that in every ethnos all over the world. There will be no group, every tribe, tongue, and kindred, that will not have disciples inside them who would have the borrowed anointing. Some of them will even have inherited anointing, depending on how, you know, quickly they grow and all of that. But at least minimum, they'll have the borrowed anointing and they will preach and demonstrate the gospel. When that is achieved, he said, Jesus himself told us, he said, then shall the end come. This gospel of the kingdom, not any gospel, this one of the dominion of God, was to preach unto all ethnos. The word nations there is the Greek word ethnos. That's where we get the English word ethnic from. So he's not talking about just Nigeria or the United Kingdom or America. He's talking about the ethnic groups. So in England, it will be the Welsh. It will be the English, it will be the Scottish, it will be the Irish. In Nigeria, it will be we have about 400 or 500 ethnic groups in Nigeria. It's not just Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa, and Fulani. No, much more. You know, it was when I was doing my youth corps, I appreciated the diversity in Nigeria. I did my youth corps in Cross River State. And that time, they hadn't done Akwa Ibom. You know, so all of that area, you know, the Oron and Uyo and all that's Akwa Ibom today. You know, those are the Ibibios. They are different from the Efiks. Their language is very similar, but they're different from the Efiks. I served in a place called Ikom. In Ikom, there's Ikom, there's Ogoja, there's Obudu. There was another place, Ugep. Then there was another place called I can't remember the name. Akankpa. You know how I know? We used to ride. I had a friend who had a Harley Davidson. So we used to, kids, you know, we used to ride a bike all the way from Ikom to Calabar. So we would go through all of those different places. We would stop on the way. We would drink palm wine. Give the Lord a clap offering for having mercy on my life. When I look at some of the things we did, God have mercy. But the point is this. You know, in Cross River State, you move 5 kilometers, the language changes. So even in a place like Obudu or in Ikom, it's not one language. You have about 5, 8, 9, 10 different, and they don't understand each other. I didn't know that until I did my youth call. So each of those different ethnos, we must have disciples there like Peter, James, and John, not less quality. Like the 12 apostles and 70 disciples who can carry the borrowed anointing, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. Until we get there, we are not going anywhere. There is no rapture until that happens. So, that's the timetable. So it is after that that Jesus will now come in what we call the rapture. You know, and then after that, you know, the tribulation and then the millennial reign and all of that. But the important point to understand here is this. Right now, what God is concerned about, so the rapture is still going to happen. But the rapture must be preceded by the manifestation of the sons of God who will bring this latter and former rain and cause it to come upon the earth, which is the essence of this message, reigning righteousness. So, what is the purpose? Let me finish in Hosea 6:2. I haven't finished there. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. And we will live in his sight. That means presence, manifest presence. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. He is going forth, is prepared. One of the other translations say, is as certain as the morning. Give this to me, the Amplified. He says, he's going forth, is prepared, and certain as the dawn. He will come to us as the heavy rain, and the latter rain that waters the earth. He has already come to us. We already have rain. We are already born again. We already have the Holy Ghost. But everything we've had from 1900 to today is former rain. When the Bible talks about latter and former rain, it's talking about the Spirit without measure. The rain now is a type of the power of the Holy Spirit. That rain, the former rain, is a measure of the power of the Spirit of God. It's the one we get when we speak in tongues and all of that, which is good. But you can't stop there. We now have to get to a place where we generate. And God is able to release the latter and the former rain together upon the earth. That is ahead of us. That's what I call immediate future. So, this is what the Bible means when it says it's going to rain. He will rain righteousness upon you. When the latter and former rain, when they are falling on the earth, spiritually speaking now, into the hearts of men, is going to cause men to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit and do righteousness in greater measure than we've ever seen it before. Last week, Pastor Andrew and the choir, they sang David Ingalls' song, It's Raining. Although David Ingalls sang that song years ago, it's prophetic, you know, in a measure that we've never seen before. We're about to see a measure of righteousness that the earth has never seen before, because the hearts are going to receive a rain that has never been seen before. A measure of rain that has never been seen before. Now, one other scripture. I'm trying to paint a prophetic picture. Look at Psalm 133. I mentioned this in my teaching last week during the Bible study, I believe. Or maybe it was during School of Perfection. But look at it. Look at a song of degrees, Psalm 133, just three verses. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Three is God's number for perfection. A song of degrees of David. Behold, I didn't hear you. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So unity is going to be a key factor in this reign. It is like the precious ointment, or this anointing, upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard. Aaron is a type of the high priest. That went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. What a beautiful picture. There, for there, the Lord had commanded the blessing, even life forevermore, or Zoe, this eternal life of God. This is a very wonderful prophetic picture of the rain. It comes from the head. Or, like we, in the natural, where does rain come from? It comes from the clouds. It comes from the sky. Spiritually speaking, the rain comes from the Lord Jesus Christ via his leadership. See, Aaron is a type of the high priest. Then it begins to drip or rain. It begins to drop from the leadership, from the Lord Jesus Christ, via the leadership. It now begins to drop to the rest of the body, even down to the skirt of his garment. So the whole body is going to receive rain. And it is going to produce righteousness, right doing, that will now fulfill. Honey, see how the whole Bible just interweaves it. That's how you know it's the Holy Ghost who wrote it. That it might be fulfilled, that which was written by the Apostle Paul, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. A glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or anything. What's going to do it? Rain. The rain of righteousness that is going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ through the leadership of the body, which is symbolized by the head and the beard, showing maturity. It's not going to, it doesn't come from the bottom, it comes from the top. And then it comes down, and then it goes all over his body. Christ is the head, we are the body, we are the members. Then every member, it will be another Israeli drip irrigation. God will bring rain to every single grass in the field. That's in Zechariah. Every will receive rain, then, and they will bring forth fruit. No spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. What's going to bring it? Rain. Rain. And you know what? I got news for you. It's already started raining. It's not that it's going to rain. The rain has already started. It's just that it's going to increase in intensity. See, the rain we're getting now is giving us the former rain moderately. Joel chapter 2. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. I don't know, but Pastor G, I'm preaching me happy. Papa Hagen will say that, and I'm saying it after him. Be glad then. I didn't hear you. Now, ask your neighbor, then when? You see, everything in God has time and season. Be glad then. When should I be glad? At a particular point in time. You know when you're supposed to be glad? After 2 days. You see, the rain is going to increase after 2 days. Then in the third day, he will raise us up. That's not just rapture. He's going to raise us up. This is the correct interpretation, a more complete interpretation. I had that interpretation 20 years ago or 30 years ago, 1999, you know, 1996, 25 years ago. And it was not wrong at that time. And it motivated me to seek God, and I did. And as I was seeking God, then I got more clarity, you know. And revelation is progressive and it's continuous. So what happened is that after 2 days, we come into cleansing perfection. That will now bring light and understanding to our minds. And we've experienced that to some degree. Then in the third day, we'll raise us up with manifesting perfection. It says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. When the glory of God comes in the church, he's going to lift the church up. And so that's what he means. He will raise us up. He said, in order to now get this experience, then, now, be glad then, this time now. We're now in the transition. We're already in the third day now. Third day is the third millennium from the birth of Christ. Jesus was born in 4 BC about. So we entered the third day in 1996. We've been here 25 years now. So we're expecting now that raising up, that manifesting perfection, that the glory of God. He says, now for that to happen, during this transition time now, now is the time for, that you will know if, it's conditional, you follow on to know the Lord. It is the people who press in now, the people who are following now, who've been following these 25 years and who continue to follow now, that are going to press in, then to those people he will now come as the latter and the former rain upon the earth to produce this harvest of righteousness. It's critical we understand the time frame. That is why this prophetic message I'm giving you is so important and strategic. The timing is critical. It is in between. It's already after 2 days. You know, it looks like an unnecessary repetition after 2 days. Then in the third day, it's the same thing. Yes, but not exactly. After 2 days, transition. Then something happens. Then inside the third day, as the third day progresses, something more will now happen. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the former and the latter, which speaks of the Spirit without measure. Look at Joel chapter 2. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you. No, observe the word. The prophet is speaking. Again, I explained about the Old Testament prophets. They used to speak centuries, millennia. This is Joel. This is 2,000 years before Jesus was born. And he's speaking prophetically in the past tense and the present tense. The prophet is speaking as though he were in that time. So he now says, be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath, past tense, given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain, as it was at the beginning. In other words, he's done something, and he's going to do something more. So, when we received the return of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Azusa Street, and in Topeka, Kansas, 1900 and then 1906, and since then up till now, everything we've gone through has been former rain. That's what he has given you. He said, but he's still going to do something more. He's now going to give you the former and the latter rain together. If you check some of the translations, when it says first one, as it says, like at the first. Let me read some translations to you. I like the Amplified. It says, be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he's giving you the former or early rain in just measure and in righteousness. Then he's going to cause down to come for you the rain, the former and the latter rain as before. Who did it before? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in Jesus' ministry, Jesus didn't just have the former rain. He had the former and the latter. We call it spirit without measure. You know, I always marvel at the wonderful miracles that happened in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why. I know he was not doing it because he was God. He wasn't doing it with divine omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. He was doing it as a man, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. Yet the measure of power that was manifested is mind-boggling. So mind-boggling that the guy who was closest to him, his name is John. That's why Olivia is Johnson, praise the Lord. That's a joke. You know, it was so mind-boggling that John wrote these words. He said that these things that I wrote them so that you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that believing that you might have life through his name. He said, but if all the things that Jesus did was to be written, he said that the world will not contain the books and the scripture cannot be broken. It means that 3.5 years, practically every minute of the day, one miracle or the other was taking place. All we have in the four gospels is just a sample. It's just a small sample. Do you think, I'm throwing some things out to activate your thinking. Do you think the woman with the issue of blood was the only person that touched Jesus and got healed? Of course not. It's just the one that was recorded in some detail. Hundreds, thousands got healed by just touching the hem of his garment. The Bible tells you in one place, he says, and virtue went out of him and healed them all, a great multitude. Multitude in the Bible is anything from 10 to 20,000. A great multitude. The Bible said, as many, he said, they just sought to touch the hem of his garment. What kind of power is that? We've never seen anything like it on the earth since that time. Not even in the case of Paul. Not even in the case of Peter. Thank God for what they did. You know, they had summary, but nothing like Jesus' ministry. You know why? It was different between former rain and latter and former rain together. They had miracles, you know. We see Paul raising the dead, you know, that boy who was sleeping. That's why you should not be sleeping when the pastor is talking. You know, we may not be able to raise you from the dead, so please don't sleep. I said that as a joke. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? You don't, look at those kind of miracles. You don't see them not in the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible says, and when Jesus got to a place and they knew that he came out of the boat, I think it's Mark chapter 6. He said they began to come from the marketplaces, from all the villages and everywhere, you know, that, you know, they can just touch him and get healed. Peter did a little bit of that in Jerusalem, where his shadow was healing people on the streets of Jerusalem. But that, one, it didn't last long. Number two, it was very limited. But in Jesus' ministry, you don't see that kind of limitation. You see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. He goes, he heals somebody. He comes back. He's sitting inside the house. Two blind men came. They said, you can heal me if you can. He said, go, thy faith hath made thee whole. Their eyes opened immediately. You know, blind Bartimaeus. All those are just samples. Because this kind of things were happening every day. Or John would never have said what he said. Now, don't say who. Say, that's going to happen to me. It's moving to another level of faith. You see, thank God, that's Jesus. No, that's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It should be written about you that if the miracles that God did through you were to be written. That we may grow up into him, Pastor Wega, in all things. Isn't that what he said? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the Bible says, as before. As it was in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the prophet Joel was prophesying thousands of years ahead. So God took him in the spirit, so to speak. You know, into that time that we are living in now, then he now said, I have given you past tense, 1900, 1910, the former rain moderately, but I'm going to give you now the latter and the former rain as I gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the interpretation of that scripture. Is this clear? You see, it takes revelation and light to be able to see that. If you just read it on the surface, even if you know the Hebrew and the Greek, you won't get it. It takes revelation and light. So, I'm going to just hit on this and then I'll go into how and then we'll close. What is the purpose, or rather, why is God doing this? Why do we need this latter and former rain together? Why do we need this spirit without measure? I wrote it down here in my notes. To simulate the conditions of the millennial reign when sin is totally dominated and sickness and disease because Satan would have been locked up in the bottomless pit. This is a part of tasting of the powers of the age to come. You need to understand something, brethren, that in the millennial reign, the devil, who is who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All the things you are seeing on the earth, I was sharing, I think it was Pastor Wale, I was sharing with, you know, a few days ago, you know, Pastor Wega, you know, I think we were watching something on television in my house, you know, and maybe some of the other brethren. And I said, all this that we are seeing, you know, just looking, my wife and I will be looking at all the floods in Europe, you know, all the fires in California, all the, my wife said, huh, honey, eshe. Eshe in our language means sin. I said, yes, honey, it is cumulative, it is the cumulative effect of sin. Is sin having compound interest? It's been, you know, because iniquity shall abound. That's why we're seeing terrible conditions. Look at COVID. When we thought they had overcome it, God gave us a breakthrough by his mercy and grace. Allowed them to get vaccine with under a year. Normally, vaccines take 10 years to develop. They get the vaccine and tell people to come and start taking the vaccine. They even a very good vaccine. Not the kind of vaccine that they used to do before, like smallpox or you know, and all of that, where they'll put a little bit of the sickness in you. Then you develop an antibody. This one, because it works with not the DNA, that's misinformation. It works with the RNA. The RNA is the messenger. So it just gives your cells the message to how to get the antibodies to reject the thing without making you as sick as a normal vaccine. So it's a very good vaccine. Give them a clap offering in Oxford. And all the people who work tirelessly to get that vaccine. And then human nature, sin nature, deception and stubbornness and pride is the Antichrist. I'm not going to take the vaccine. If everybody had taken the vaccine, a great majority, COVID would have gone. The reason why COVID is still existing today, and then we've had Delta variant, Lambda variant, new variant, they're just giving it different Greek names. You know why? The people who refuse to take the vaccine have become incubating factories. So that the virus now has a laboratory inside the human heart to mutate. And that's what's causing the problems now. That's why President Joe Biden just said yesterday or day before yesterday that they're now making a mandate in America that businesses, government offices, if you don't take the vaccine, you can't come to work. They will sack you. They told everybody to do it voluntarily before. They didn't listen. So the only way they can get people to do it now is to make it mandatory. Nigeria too, I think, is going along that line. If you're in government service now and all that, you come, you know, if you want to teach children in the school, get vaccinated. How will you allow yourself to come and pass something to children? We're not having an increase in the number of infections in children that we didn't have before. There's only one reason for it. Stubbornness. Sin. Just refusal. You know what? God has been so kind. Nobody had to pay for the vaccine. The governments paid for it. It was free. And yet people refused to take it. Now they've become an incubating factory for the variants. And we're still now facing what we should have overcome 3, 5, 6 months ago. We're still facing it now because of man's stubbornness. I just got a tweet from heaven. He said, I know it may sound difficult to you, but I'm going to tell you. The Holy Ghost just whispered to me. He said, that's why we put people in hell. If we keep them in heaven and try and just help them, since they are stubborn and they are rebellious, they are going to bring that same corruption to come and affect the people in heaven. That's why we have to put them, incarcerate them in a place that is totally, you know, that is totally separated. So their nonsense cannot come and affect the good people. Don't join them. So during the millennium, the Satan will be put in the bottomless pit. And you know what? Something miraculous will happen on the earth.
there'll be no more death. There'll be no more earthquake. There'll be no more... What happened? The spirit that is behind it, like I was teaching you last week, has been put. That's why. Look at Isaiah 11. I don't know how many of you know your Bibles without really. That's why you need to know your Bible. Turn to your neighbor there. You need to know your Bible. Oh. All right. Look at verses 4 to 10. He's talking about the Messiah prophetically. Again, this is an example of the prophetic ministry of the Old Testament. This was thousands of years before Jesus was even born. He's now talking about when Jesus comes and then even the millennial reign. That's the power. That's why the Old Testament prophets were foretelling, and we New Testament prophets, most of our own is forthtelling, immediate future. Now, he says, but with righteousness, I didn't hear you, shall he judge the poor, and he will reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. He's talking about when Jesus comes back and he kills the Antichrist, you know, and puts them in hell, and Satan and the false prophet. And then he says, and righteousness, I didn't hear you, shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Talking about his heart. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. If you put a wolf and a lamb together now, the wolf will eat it. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child. Can you imagine a little child, a five-year-old going to meet a lion and reading it? You know why? The sin nature. The thing that caused the distortion in creation has been removed. I don't know if you're getting it. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. Watch this. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The lion will not have to start killing other animals. That's not the way God did it at first. You see, everything we see now is a distortion of what God did. And the person that is behind the distortion is Lucifer. It's the devil. So during this time, once he's put in the bottomless pit, all these conditions or something. Now, the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp. That's a snake. The winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Can you believe that? This was going to happen in the millennium when the devil would have been bound. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge. Notice not the glory, but the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, watch this, folks. You see, what's going to happen is this. Now, the Bible, honey, the hallelujah is going to go up now. Are you following me? Well, that's millennium. Yes, when Satan is bound. But you see, when the manifestation of sons of God come, and we now begin to rain righteousness upon the earth through prayer and intercession, we will simulate. That's a computer expression. We will simulate the same conditions. The Bible says we will taste of the powers of the age to come. Yes, the devil is not in the bottomless pit, but in your sphere of influence, in the area where we are operating, we bind him. We're binding him morning, afternoon, and night. Binding, so it's as if he's not there. So these conditions will now come upon the earth. Do you get it? And the men, you see, during the millennial reign, because the devil is not there, you know, you find that men will be doing righteousness. Not because some of them want to do righteousness, but you know, because some of them still have a free will. But there will be the intensity of righteousness that will be in the air will be so strong, it will be almost impossible to do wrong. That is what reigning righteousness will produce now. We don't have to wait for the millennium. We can taste of the powers of the age to come and bring it here. Closing. How? Three things. The blood, the word, and the spirit. It's always that. Amen? But let me show it to you in the rain form. Because you see, it comes from the head. Those in leadership must be men and women that are rooted and grounded in love. That's why that efficient prayer is so important. It's actually a roadmap. The bottom of the map is the fullness of God. But the top of it is Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That you become rooted and grounded in love. That you be able to comprehend with all saints. In other words, you're going to be compassionate. You're going to be understanding. When a saint doesn't know certain things, and that's not going to disturb you. That you will know the love of Christ, which is greater than the knowledge that they don't have. Then, and only then, Pastor Andrew, can they be filled with all the latter and the former rain. So it is from that leadership. Because when they see people sin, you know what they're going to do? Remit it. When they see people sin, just remit it. If you see your brother sin, you say, ask life for them. You remit the sin. You know, whoever sins you remit. You know, they will be doing that so many times during the day that nothing will block the rain. Because the rain will be coming. How good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together? It is like the ointment. It's going to be coming from the top. And the people in the top are going to make sure that even the infirmities and the sins of the people below them will not disturb the rain. Am I talking to anybody here? The blood of Jesus. We're going to keep applying it to remit the sins of the people under us and in our sphere of influence. Then number two, the word. That is going to bring the life of God. You partakers of the divine nature, you know, through the exceeding great and precious promises. If any man sees, brother, sin, that I thank God that scripture is in the Bible. It was John who recorded it, and he learned it from Jesus. If you see, say, ask life for them. But you know, life cannot flow if you haven't cleaned with the blood. That's why the way the spiritual drip irrigation system works. From the leadership is that when they see people sin, they remit their sin. Then they now ask life. That's that rain now comes down. Then the third one, praying in the spirit. They're praying in the spirit constantly. So Ephesians 6:18, they put on the whole armor of God, praying all with all prayer and supplication. Listen to this, for all saints. Everybody scream it. For a few saints. For the good saints, for the weak saints, for the bad saints. Can you see what God is planning? When we pray in tongues, that's the beauty of praying in tongues. That's why God took the control over from us to Him. See, if you don't like somebody, or you think somebody has done something and they don't deserve it, you will not pray for them, but God will pray for them. The Holy Ghost will pray for them through you. That's why a lot of people don't like praying in tongues, because they don't know what God is doing. So they want to try and control it. God will not allow you to control it. You are not developed enough. So, you see, whenever you are praying in the Spirit, it is Jesus, watch this, praying through you, in you, and for you. I'm going to repeat that. It's Jesus praying through you, in you, and for you, and other saints, not you alone. God is God. Praying in the Spirit can never be a selfish prayer. Prayer for all saints. Jude 1:20 says, keep yourself in the love of God. Pray. Build yourself up on your own soul, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves, plural, in the love of God. So that's how the rain comes. It comes from a mature leadership symbolized by Aaron's beard that have become rooted and grounded in love. That comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ. That know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. That causes them now to remit the sins of the people under them. Ask life for them and pray for them in tongues. And it will now come from Jesus through them to the body. That rain will come down. The latter and the former rain together because of the intensity of the rain. Even the things that in the heart that previously were not okay,
that rain will now begin to produce fruit and cause them to overcome it. Then go back to Hosea 6, 10, 12, and I close. And he says, let me go there. I was trying to do it from my head, but let me quickly go there. And Paul was allowed three closings. I'm going to take only one. Amen. Hosea is chapter 10, verse 12. That's where I started. And that's where I'm going to end. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. How do you do that? Right standing. Cleanse their sin. That's how you sow. They're trying to put something into their ground. They've done something wrong. Then you remit their sin. Reap in mercy. You're showing mercy to them. You're giving eternal life. Break up your fallow ground. That ground that has been uncultivated will now break up. It is time, after 2 days, to seek the Lord till he come. And he will come and now rain righteousness on us. So by, look at the steps. We sow in righteousness by cleansing their sins. We show mercy to them. We reap in mercy. We break up the fallow ground through intercession. That's what intercession does. That's what, particularly supplication. It breaks up the uncultivated ground. My little children of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And then will now begin to rain righteousness onto their hearts. And the people who hadn't brought fruit for years will start bringing forth fruit. And then we're going to have a church, no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. All those that are under that perfect leadership, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Glory be to God. You know, I told you we're entering advanced level. See, it's advanced level now. Amen. The more you are entrusted with leadership, the more rooted and grounded in love you have to be. You have to be like, you see, somebody committed a terrible sin in the days of Kenneth Hagin, some pastor or minister. So people wanted to excommunicate him and, you know, get rid of him and everything. Jesus appeared in the vision, you know, and he said to him, yes, it's true, he did it. He said, but he's my son. He said, what will you do if it's your own son? Will you kill him? He said, he's changed. He wants to get better. Help him. He's my son. That's how he thinks. All of us here have children. Not all of us, but we have children. People who are like children to us. If your child even does something really terrible, what are you going to do? Kill him? Or look for a way of helping him? All of us, we look for a way of helping the child. All Christians are God's children. Love them like God loves them. I got a song. We haven't sung it for quite a while. God put it in my heart. I bow my knee before your throne. I know my life is not my own. I offer up the song of praise to bring you pleasure, Lord. I seek the giver. I seek the giver, not the gift. My heart's desire is to lift you high above all earthly things, to bring you pleasure, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
it to him. To break that fallow ground. God wants cultivated plants in your heart of the fruit of the Spirit. One row for love, one row for joy, one row for peace, one row for long suffering, one row for gentleness, one row for goodness, one row for faithfulness, one row for meekness. One row for patience. So it doesn't matter which fruit they want, it's there. And you're going to get the best drip irrigation system in the world. He is going to water that ground. And you're going to bring forth fruit. I know you brought forth some fruit, some of you. But you're going to bring much more fruit. Not this one that is just, you know, scattered all over the place, you know. The ground is just, you know, sometimes you see a little bit of cassava here, you see a little bit. No, it's going to be properly cultured. Properly cultivated. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this afternoon. Putting me into understanding that at this time, in this third day, you are raining righteousness upon your church that will break up our fallow ground, that will cause us to bring forth fruit in righteousness. My God and my Father, have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure. Oh Lord, enlighten my understanding. Help me, Lord, to fulfill your word, to sow to myself in righteousness, to reap in mercy, to break up my fallow ground, to receive this rain of your life and your power upon my heart, so I will bring forth fruit in righteousness. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me to show love to others as you have shown love to me. To forgive as you forgive me. To be patient as you are patient with me. To be forbearing as you've been forbearing with me. Help me to do that to all those I am connected with. So that when I see them and see them do wrong, I will remit their sin. I will ask life for them. I will rain righteousness upon them to break up their fallow ground and cause them to bring forth fruit unto righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Father. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. In our souls, in our bodies, in our circumstances, in our regional heavenly, in Jesus' name. In case you were not here earlier during the Bible study, maybe you just joined the service, maybe you're online or you came in, and you need healing for your body. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The healing power is in the air. It's inside the Word of God. The Word of God is spirit and it is life that we have spoken now. So I just like you to stretch forth your hands. If you need deliverance from your mind, put your hand on your forehead. Father, we come against spirits of infirmity. We cast you out. We destroy your works. Resist and we bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of oppression, we cast you out. Destroy your works. And bind you in Jesus' name. We say, be thou made whole. And be thou delivered. In Jesus' name. Just say, I receive my healing and I receive my deliverance. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to say a quick word. This kind, cometh out not except by prayer and fasting. Dearly beloved, instead of fasting for things, now we need to put the knife on our throats and fast for fruits. We need to break the yokes that have hitherto have been on us for years. Sins and weights that have so been easily besetting us for years. Because the reign of righteousness has come. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's time to put knives to our throats and pray with fasting to cast out. You know something the Lord was just saying when I was coming? He said, the deaf and dumb spirit. You know what that deaf and dumb spirit means? Physically deaf and dumb. But it means the person has no reality of what's going on. Spiritually, the person is dumb, sweet deaf, and blind. So it's time for us to be sensitive to know what's like the sons of Issachar, to understand the times and the seasons. So, don't only fast for things, let's fast for fruits and growths, breaking yokes. And you see, the scripture says, when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it doesn't stop there. It says then, all other things shall be added. Perhaps the reason why all those other things haven't been added is because we're not seeking first the kingdom of God.
Incidentally, I forgot to announce this. I was going to announce it. You know, the end of this month is October, end of September, and then we're going to October. So I want to announce it ahead of time. We're going to have a 3-day fast in the last, it's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then our Independence Day, I think, is on Friday. So we'll do fast. Full total fast Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then we'll fast on Thursday. You can break in the evening. Then on Friday, we'll all come together as we normally do to pray for Nigeria with fasting And then after the prayer, we can break the fast. So let's begin to work towards that. And like mommy, I said, between now and then, the Tuesdays fasting, you know, make sure you fast on Tuesdays, you know, pray. And as God leads you, ask God in your own particular situation. I may ask you to do some extra fasting and prayer. Maybe there are things in your life, in your children, your grandchildren that you need to deal with. You know, remember, I said, we are entered A level now. I didn't hear amen. We need to seek God. Seek God. It is time to seek the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, Joshua, Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn your neighbor and say, you break up your fallow ground. You receive the rain of righteousness and bring forth much fruit. And all other things are added unto you, and you have no broken bones. In Jesus' name. Amen.